bank bailout in reverse.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us this Tuesday morning. We've heard the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation is running short on cash. Think of the number of failing banks it's had to rescue in the last year. Now the FDIC may ask healthy banks for a little something of its own. From Washington, here's Marketplace's Tamara Keith.
When a bank fails, the FDIC steps in, as it's done 94 times this year already. The insurance fund protects everyone's deposits and prevents bank runs. It gets its money from fees paid by banks. And worst case, the FDIC could always go to the Treasury for money. But the New York Times is reporting FDIC officials are considering another option, asking healthy banks for loans. The banks would get bonds in exchange for the cash, so these loans would show up on their books as an asset. The banking industry reportedly likes this plan because weaker banks were already feeling overburdened by FDIC fees, and a bailout from Treasury would just lead to more political backlash. FDIC officials tell The Times they'll have a plan for replenishing the fund next week. In Washington, I'm Tamara Keith for Marketplace.
Also in Washington today, the Federal Reserve begins its two-day meeting. Policymakers there are expected to leave untouched emergency programs that encourage spending and borrowing, and short-term rates, interest rates, are likely to stay low. Let's check stocks. European shares are up right now, an average of 1%. Asian shares closed mixed today. The Hang Seng higher. The Chinese benchmark tanked 2.3%. The Nikkei is still closed. On Wall Street, the S&P 500 and Dow both lost ground yesterday, under 0.5%. The Dow closed at 97.78. The NASDAQ was in positive territory, closing up about 0.25%. President Obama and the Chinese President Hu Jintao will be talking climate change in New York today, part of a major climate summit at this week's UN General Assembly. Marketplace's Elisa Roth reports.
The United States produces about 1/4 of the world's greenhouse gases, but it still doesn't have an official climate policy. Jake Schmidt is at the Natural Resources Defense Council, and he says President Obama's message needs to be clear.
The U.S. is back and willing to cut its absolute emissions and create clean energy.
Europe and other developed countries have been annoyed with the U.S. for not doing more to help, and they're worried the U.S. won't be able to keep promises it might make in the future. Europe's already committed to major cuts in emissions and said they'd go even further if other countries did. And then there's China. The Bush administration blamed China and other developing countries for not doing enough to cut emissions. But now China's making all kinds of promises about renewable energy. And Jake Schmidt from the NRDC expects President Hu Jintao to make more in his speech today.
We're going to cut our emissions in the near term. And while we're doing that, lay the foundation for even deeper cuts in the kind of medium term.
All of this is building toward the big climate meeting in Copenhagen in December, when the world's environment ministers will try to come up with a new international protocol. But many are worried there's still too many differences to reach an accord. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Iranians protesting President Ahmadinejad's visit to the UN in New York wanted the lights on the Empire State Building to burn green. But the Wall Street Journal reports building officials declined, saying they don't get involved in political statements. Well, it turns out last weekend the building was lit green anyway to commemorate the end of Ramadan. And the famous skyscraper is set to celebrate the 70th anniversary of The Wizard of Oz Thursday. The color? Yeah, emerald green. As one Iranian blogger put it, the universe is smiling and the stars are aligned.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Gather.com, the social network where people can make new friends who share their interests. People talking about today's news at news.gather.com. And by Monsanto, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields without increasing demands on natural resources. More at producemoreconservemore.com.
So, to live in New York City is to pay some astronomical prices for real estate. Many homeowners took on big mortgages in order to buy, but things got tough for shoppers when the credit crisis hit. Lending standards and credit requirements were tightened, and now new restrictions are making it tougher than ever to get a mortgage, especially on new apartments. Sally Herships reports.
Susan Combs and her boyfriend started shopping for a condo in New York City about a year and a half ago. When the financial crisis hit, Combs saw a potential silver lining, lower prices in one of the many new developments that sprang up around the city during the building boom. But it hasn't worked out that way.
It seems like if you've done everything right, you've worked really hard to save money, you've worked hard to make sure that your credit's good, and it's still not enough. I mean, the prices and the interest rates, absolutely, it's a great time to buy if you can get a mortgage.
And getting a mortgage from Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac is nearly impossible right now. Combs' credit score is higher than 700, but Fannie and Freddie have tightened up their rules for financing loans in new buildings. They won't underwrite a loan for any apartment in a new building until 70% of the units there are under contract and on their way to being sold. Brian Lochner works for the American Development Group in New York. He says this has brought sales in some buildings to a halt.
A new buyer walking in the door is going to ask you how much have you sold, and you can't lie to them. And if you're saying, well, you're going to be the third, fourth, fifth, or sixth unit sold, they're going to walk out because who wants to wait for you to sell the next 40 units?
Rather than wait, developers are turning to the Federal Housing Authority. The FHA guarantees loans up to $729,000, but its guidelines are a lot less strict than Fannie and Freddie's. Down payments can be as little as 3.5%. But even today, $729,000 doesn't buy much in New York. So rather than trying to lure in buyers who can pay bigger deposits, Lochner says development companies like his are finding creative ways to fall in line with the FHA.
We shrank each unit size so that every single one of those units fits into the FHA funding guidelines. So we went from million-dollar apartments to $650,000 or $700,000 apartments.
There are about 70 buildings in New York City that the FHA has approved for financing. But unfortunately for Susan Combs and her boyfriend, only 11 of those are in Manhattan. Worse still, the FHA is rolling out new restrictions, too. From October the 1st, it will only insure 30% of loans in any one building. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being with us today. Have a great Tuesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.